Today, I want to speak with you about a man who actually had lots and lots of stuff. This man lived fairly early on in the history of the world, and he became a really, really important guy because God chose him. And his response to God's choice, well, we'll see how important that was down the road. His name was Abram. Now, we started talking about how when God made the world, we had all of this amazing, beautiful stuff that he had created, and more importantly, we had him. But then, when we turned our backs on God, we started to get obsessed about stuff, because stuff was hard to come by. And in Abram's day, by this time, people kind of understood that the blessing of God, you could see how much God blessed you, how much he liked you, by how much stuff he had. And as I say, Abram had a lot of stuff. Abram also had a home. And in those days, one of the other things that was kind of not just this, that you weren't necessarily just attached to your stuff, you were attached to a place. A place is kind of like stuff, right? And Abram heard from God that God wanted him to pick up all of his stuff and leave the land where he and his fathers and his father's fathers had lived for generation upon generation. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have ever had to move? Wow, that's actually a lot of you. In the ancient world, this would be highly unusual. You know, you would probably be born in a house and stay in that house, in that village, in that place for you know, from the time you were born, possibly all the way to the time you died. In the ancient world, you might even never leave the city that you were born in, or the village that you were born in. But now Abram had this message from God. And God was telling him, I want you to pack up all of your stuff and go somewhere. Now normally when you move, you are moving from one place, that, okay, I know where we were living there, and then you move to another place. You know, so it's all, and if your parents are a little worried, they might be telling you, no, it's okay, here's what the new place is like, and you've got this, and it's got that, and you'll really love this aspect of it, and I'm sure you'll make great friends there, and we'll be in this school. Abram knew none of that. All he knew was that God told him to pack up his stuff and go to a place that I will show you. It's like, what's that like? Is it going to be nice? How am I going to know when I get there? Didn't know any of that. But Abram was a guy who really loved God. And so he packed up all of his stuff. And as I say, he had a lot of stuff. All his sheep and his goats and his camels and his whatever else he had, because that was kind of how you, if you were rich in those days, that's what you had. You had lots of sheep and goats and camels and all those kinds of things. And he packed up his family, and his nephew Lot came with him, and he packed up all his stuff, and they just started going wherever God was going to lead them. And they walked and walked, and they took all their sheep and their goats. Fortunately, their stuff was kind of mobile too. They could call their sheep and their goats and everything that they had. And they went in search of this land that God was going to show them. And they didn't get there for a long time. And even when they got there, it wasn't necessarily their land. There were people there already. But it was okay because, you know, they had tents. They were living in tents. As I was saying my silly pun to Father Kellogg this morning, their lifestyle was very intense. And they just kind of pitched their tent wherever they were, and they let their sheep and their livestock graze there. And then eventually God said, okay, this is the place. I know you don't actually have it yet, but this is the place that I'm going to give you, Abram, and all of your descendants. At which point Abram was, all of my descendants. I have no descendants. That was another sign of God's blessing, is if he had lots of kids. And Abram and his wife Sarai were had no kids. Sarai had they tried to have kids, and they just couldn't. And so Abram was like, okay, well, I'm going to a place that you haven't told me where I'm going, and my stuff is going to be inherited by somebody who doesn't exist yet. And I'm getting kind of old. Abram was like in his 90s, and Sarah was in her 80s. It's like little past childbearing years. People don't usually have, that's usually when people are grandparents, not when they become parents.
Great-grandparents.
Or possibly great-grandparents, yes.
Indeed.
So Abram and his, but Abram believed God. And so he just kept packing up in his tents and moving to the next place. And as he kept going, God kept blessing him with more stuff. And I was like, all those sheep and goats had baby sheep and baby goats, and they had baby sheep and baby goats until Abram and Lot had tons and tons and tons of stuff. They had lots and lots of sheep, lots and lots of goats. They were in those days, that was meant they were like really, really rich. But now it started to become a problem. There were too many. And what happened was they would go to a place and they'd be like, okay, here they've got probably enough grass for maybe all of our sheep and goats. And then Abram's herdsmen would start getting into fights with Lot's herdsmen. Because the people who were looking after Lot's herds and flocks of sheep and goats would come along and say, oh, well, there's not enough space here for both of us. Lots are more important, so you guys should move. And Abram's servants was like, what do you mean? Abram's way more important than Lot, and not Lot's his nephew. You guys have to move. And they were getting into fights, and of course, once people get into fights, then you have more people taking sides, and more of their households were getting into fights, and this was just not a good scene. And so finally, Abram said to Lot, okay, you know what? This is the land that God has given us, or is going to give us. But it's not, what's more important to me is that you and I, your family and my family, Lot, that we get along. And so he took Lot up to some sort of nice vista point, probably like Father Kelly is going to take the teens up to, and they looked over the land, and Abraham said to Lot, knowing that this was the land that God had given to him, and that this was going to be his inheritance, this is what he'd packed up to give to get to in the first place, now all of a sudden he says to Lot, you know, for the sake of peace, you pick. You get to choose whatever part of the land that you want, and you go that way, and I'll go the other way. And then we'll be at peace because our herdsmen will not be fighting over the land. I'm like, oh. Lot was like, oh, this is a good deal. Okay, looks over the land. It looks down at the Jordan River. It's like, oh, that part over there looks kind of dry and dusty and barren. And that part over there with the Jordan River looks really lush. And there's lots of vegetation growing. There'll be lots of room for my herds and flocks. I'm going to pick that part. And Abram, instead of saying, oh, man, that was the best part. I wanted that part. I want that stuff. And Abram said, nope. That's great. You pick that part. You get that part. I'll go over here in the dusty, barren part and feed my herds and flocks over there. So Lot took his flocks and he separated and herds and he separated from Abram and he went down to the plain of the Jordan River, and there were actually a number of cities there, big cities, Sodom, Gomorrah. Everybody knew about these places. They weren't very nice places, but hey, it was a good place to trade and have and get more stuff, you know. So Lot was good. This is great. Until there was a war. And in those days, you had kings basically of cities. So you had the king of Sodom, you had the king of Gomorrah, and they joined forces with kings of three other cities with weird names that I forget. And they went up against Chedorlaomer, I hope I've got the name right, king of Elam, and like four other kings. And they went to battle against one another, and the four kings beat the five kings. And what they did at that in those days was if they won, they just took all your stuff. And they took not just the stuff, they took all the people. So then all of a sudden, Lot, who had chosen to throw his lot in, no pun intended, with the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and get rich off of them, now he and all his family and all his stuff had been taken captive by the king of Elam. I'll not try and say his name again. And Abram got word of this. Now, as I say, Abram was rich. He had a fair number of servants, 318 to be precise. Not exactly an army. You know, in the ancient world, you probably needed a thousand or so, or maybe a few more than a thousand. And here he's going up against four kings, so they had, probably thousands of people who had taken. But when he heard that his nephew Lot had been taken captive, he took the 318 men that were in his household, and he set off in pursuit of the king of Elam and the other guys who had beaten Lot and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other cities. And he comes up behind them, and he comes up to them in the night, and he divides his men, only 318, so now you've got companies of, I don't know, whatever 318 divided by 2 is, my math isn't that good, and he divides them into two companies, and he says, okay, you guys go over that way, and you guys go over that way, and we're going to come at them in the middle of the night and attack. And that's what they did. They came at them in the middle of the night, and they attacked. And the four kings who had triumphed were like, ah, somebody's attacking us in the middle of the night. They must have a really big army. And they all ran away. And so Abram managed to rescue Lot, managed to rescue all of Lot's stuff, managed to rescue all of the stuff that had belonged to the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah and the other three cities with weird names. And he brought them all back. Now Abram is now really, really, really rich, right? He's captured all this stuff. What's he going to do with it? Kinda. So as Abram's coming back to Sodom, Gomorrah, those other three cities, and bringing all this stuff back, bringing all these people back, the king Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. And this is kind of unusual because people worshipped all sorts of gods in those days. But here was somebody who worshipped the same God that Abram worshipped. And he happened to come out and he met Abram with bread and wine. And Abram recognized that here is an opportunity for him to give back to God. God has blessed him with so much stuff. And in the end, Abram saw all of this stuff, as we were talking about yesterday, as a gift, as something that he had received from God. And he was so grateful that he said to the king of Salem, I'm going to give you 1/10 of absolutely everything that we got. And this is, I think this is the first recorded instance of a tithe, where tithe means tenth, down through the scriptures, always, if you want to have a good number of, okay, well, how much should you give back to God? Ultimately, everything that you have, all of your stuff, all of your life belongs to God. So how do you say thank you? Well, the sort of tradition that Abram starts here is give a tenth. That's enough to, kind of hurt a little bit. Wow, that's 1/10, that's quite a bit. Out of $100, you give 10 back to God. But Abram is like, nope, no problem. I'm going to give God a tenth. And he does. And then he comes back to Sodom and Gomorrah, those cities which, as I said, they were not, didn't have very great reputations. But, you know, Abram had rescued them. And so he comes up to the king of Sodom and the king of Gomorrah, and he says, here, rescued all your stuff. And they're like, oh, that's wonderful. You should, like, take a whole bunch of this stuff. And Abram says, no. I am not going to take anything from you, lest you say, I have made Abram great. And so instead of, now he has the opportunity given to him by the kings who owned all this stuff to take as much stuff as he wants. What does he do? He gives it all back. All of it. Except for the tenth that he gave to Melchizedek, because that was a gift to God. Interesting. Here's this man who is willing to leave his home. He's willing to go wherever God tells him. He spent his whole life doing this, and God has blessed him. And now God has blessed him with victory, and he's blessed him with all this stuff. And what does he care about? He cares about his nephew Lot. He cares about people, about relationships. He cares about his relationship with God. And he doesn't care about the stuff, because it's not about stuff. Now for you and I, we're probably not rich like Abram. We probably don't have as much stuff. We might not have God telling us, okay, pack up all your stuff and go to somewhere. But we do run into, we do always have to deal with, okay, well, here's our stuff that God has given to us. It might not be something great, big, but might be small. And we do have to deal with uncertainty. Sometimes we don't know what's going to happen next. But what we can do is not hold on to that stuff so tightly. What we can do is realize that all of this stuff that we have received is a gift. It's a gift from God. What we can do is realize that this gift has been given to us so that we can have good relationships with those around us, so that we can give back to God. And as we do this, that stuff no longer controls us. What controls us is our love for God and our love for the people around us. And this means that we are not slaves to our stuff. This means that we are servants of the Most High God. And this kind of choice, choosing God, choosing those around us, will mean that we are blessed and that we are used by God to be a blessing to all those around us, just like Abram. To the glory of God the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.